Well, good evening to you. My name is Simon Flinders. I'm another one of the ministers here, and I've been given the graveyard shift. Actually, it's my great pleasure to bring you a Christmas message tonight. And to help you follow at this late hour, there are four headings on your service sheet so you can see where we're going. But before we start, I'm just going to pray that we'd hear God speak to us. So please join me. Our Father in heaven, it's our hope tonight that as we think about what you've written for us in the Bible, we might actually hear your voice speaking to us. We pray that that might be true for each one of us here tonight in a very real way. And we ask it in the name of Jesus. Amen. Silent night, holy night. All is calm, all is bright round the virgin mother and child. Holy infant, so tender and mild. Sleep in heavenly peace. Sleep in heavenly peace. They're very well-known words, aren't they? It's a great Christmas carol. Personally speaking, I'd say it's one of my favourites. Sometimes I wonder, though, whether those well-known words are really the right words. Are they telling the story of that famous night accurately? Of course, the night we're talking about is the night before the first day of Jesus' life. It was the night that Jesus was born, the night we've gathered to celebrate. But I wonder, what was that night really like? Was it really a silent night? Was Jesus really tender and mild? Was everything around Jesus and Mary calm and bright? To be honest with you, I'm not so sure. My wife and I are expecting our first baby in February. A couple of weeks ago, we spent a Saturday at a whole day prenatal class from 9 to 5, thinking and hearing about birth and labour. It was a long day, I can assure you. But I did my best to concentrate, and I'm pretty sure that I didn't hear the words calm, mild, or silence used too often. Apparently, women in labour generally aren't very quiet. Crying newborns don't tend to stick to any noise curfews either. Throw in a few farmyard animals who might have been in the stable, and it's not that easy to believe that it really was a silent night. So tonight I want to tell you about another silent night, a much earlier one. This silent night occurred 1,300 years before the birth of Jesus. But the events of this earlier silent night will help us understand the birth of Jesus. And the night I'm talking about is the night before the Israelites left Egypt. We read about it a few minutes ago in that Old Testament passage from Exodus chapter 11. You may or may not be familiar with the story, so let me remind you. The nation of Israel are the descendants of a man named Joseph, the one with the technicolor coat. Joseph had been a great ruler in Egypt, but many years have passed, and now the Israelites are the slaves of the Egyptian Pharaoh. Life for the Israelites is terrible, but God is going to rescue them. And so he sends a man named Moses to speak to the Pharaoh about letting the Israelites leave Egypt. But Pharaoh's not that stupid. He has no interest in relinquishing his free workforce without a fight. And so God sends upon Pharaoh and the Egyptians a series of plagues, in fact, 9 different plagues. But at the end of each plague, Pharaoh is still unprepared to let the Israelites go. Then we get to the part that we read tonight in Exodus chapter 11. Look with me again on the bottom of your service sheets. I think it's on the bottom of page 3. Now the Lord had said to Moses, "I will bring one more plague on Pharaoh and on Egypt. After that, he will let you go from here. And when he does, he will drive you out completely." You see, God promises Moses that this plague will be the clincher. After this 10th and last plague, Pharaoh will let the people go. So Moses goes to Pharaoh, and just as he did with the other 9 plagues, he tells him exactly what God has said will happen. Look there at verse 4. So Moses said, "This is what the Lord says. About midnight I will go throughout Egypt. Every firstborn son in Egypt will die, from the firstborn son of Pharaoh who sits on the throne, to the firstborn son of the slave girl who is at her handmill, and all the firstborn of the cattle as well. There will be loud wailing throughout Egypt, worse than there has ever been or ever will be again." It's really an horrific prediction. Moses is saying that God's patience with the Israelites has run out. God's verdict has fallen upon them. And they will face the most dreadful fate. During the night, the firstborn son in every Egyptian home will die. And in those Egyptian homes, there will be unparalleled grief, loud wailing as they wake to find their children dead. But in another part of the country, there will be no wailing. Instead, there will be absolute quiet. For the Israelites, this night will be a silent night. Look at the beautiful way in which verse 7 describes the safety of the Israelites. The text tells us, "But among the Israelites, not a dog will bark at any man or animal. Then you will know that the Lord makes a distinction between Egypt and Israel." You see, this much at least the Christmas carol gets right. The words of Silent Night make a connection between silence and peace. And that's very true. That's what the Bible describes in those Israelite homes 1,300 years before. There was peace in those homes. Peace that came from safety, from security, from the unbreakable promise of God. They would be protected. So they went to bed that night in peace and quiet. In their homes, there was silence. In the Egyptian quarters, there would be loud wailing. But in the Israelite homes that night, you couldn't even hear a dog bark. That silence was a sign that God was with them, that they were safe, that there was peace. And Exodus goes on to describe that what God predicted is exactly what happened. God's verdict fell on Egypt, but the Israelites were safe. And the following day, they left Egypt for good. And as Exodus goes on to explain, the only thing the Israelites had to do to secure their safety was to kill a lamb. And they were to put some of its blood on the door frames of their houses. God was teaching them, you see, that they could offer a sacrifice in place of their children. The firstborn sons of the Israelites would not die, not in those homes where a lamb was sacrificed instead. God was making a way for them to be safe, making a way for them to know the quietness of peace. And what he promised was this: that night, when his verdict fell upon Egypt, he would pass over the homes of the Israelites. He would pass over any houses where there was blood on the door frames. And you know, from that year on, the Israelites remembered that night with a national holiday they called the Passover. Passover was an annual reminder to them that God passed over their homes, that they were safe because of the lamb's blood, that God's verdict had not fallen on them. Passover was an annual reminder of their safety, of their protection, of their silent night. Now I want us to jump forward again about 1,330 years. Because 1,330 years later, the Israelites were still celebrating the Passover. Every year they ate and drank together as a way of remembering that silent night from long ago. And 1,330 years after the first Passover, there was a man named Jesus eating the Passover meal with some friends. This is the same Jesus who 30 years earlier had been born in a stable. Now he was a grown man. And one night, he and his friends, his disciples, ate in memory of that first Passover, the night before Israel left Egypt. But this was no ordinary night. This was the night before the day when Jesus died. It was the night before he was hung on a cross. It was the night before the day that changed everything. And because that night was different, Jesus celebrated the Passover meal in a very different way. I don't know about you, but I grew up in a family that had very traditional Christmas lunches. Both my parents grew up in England, so they were used to hot turkey and roast vegetables on Christmas Day. So my childhood memories of Christmas Day are of hot mornings with a hot kitchen, followed by a hot and very delicious lunch. But then one year, Mum decided that Christmas Day was too hot. And so we were abandoning the roast and opting for cold meat and salads instead. And that first year was a bit of a shock. It was very different. And in a similar way, for the disciples who ate with Jesus on that night before he died, their Passover experience that night would have been very different to any Passover meal they'd had before. The difference for them, though, was much more significant than the difference between a hot meal and a cold one. The meal they ate that night with Jesus was profoundly different. It was different because Jesus was redefining the Passover. He was giving it a whole new meaning. What Jesus explained to them that night was that the death he was soon to die was a whole new Passover. When he died on the cross, he was going to be like the lamb the Israelites had sacrificed in Egypt. And his blood was going to be like the blood of that lamb. His blood would protect people. It would keep people safe. It would bring people peace. In his death, he would ensure that the verdict of God would not fall on some people. It would not fall on those who, metaphorically speaking, would mark the door frames of their homes with his blood. Those who will trust Jesus with their lives will be safe. Jesus taught his disciples that night that when the day of death comes, God would pass over them. They would not die. They would not die because he died instead. Instead. This was how Jesus redefined the Passover. He wanted his disciples to remember something new. Not the blood of a lamb, but his blood. Not the day the Israelites left Egypt, but the day God made forgiveness possible for all who will trust in him. And that, you see, is why the first Passover night helps us understand the birth of Jesus. Because like we read earlier in the Gospel of Luke, when Jesus was born, the angels announced that something special had come to earth. What was it? Peace. And those same angels said that something special had come to earth because someone special had come to earth. Who was it? A Saviour. Peace came because a Saviour came. What the Bible tells us is that we all need saving. We might not feel like it, but we do. We need a Saviour because without one, the verdict of God would fall on us and we would die. None of us can survive the verdict of God. None of us are holy like God is holy. So if we are to live through the night when death comes, we will need the protection that only God can provide. Now, in Egypt, thousands of years ago, the protection that God offered was the blood of a lamb on the doorframes of Israelite homes. Now the protection that God offers is the blood of the Saviour, the blood of Jesus. And that's why there was such a hullabaloo the night Jesus was born. That's why the angels were singing. That's why it's a night worth remembering. Because he wasn't just a cute kid. He certainly wasn't the first baby in the world to make no sound when he was born. He wasn't even a kid who would grow up to be an impressive teacher who would tell the world how to love each other if only we'd listen. The night of his birth is a night worth remembering for one reason only. He was born a Saviour. He would one day die. And once his blood was spilt, people could then turn to him for protection from the verdict of God. They could turn to him for safety. They could turn to him for the quietness of peace. His birth is worth celebrating because he would grow up to be a dead man. I know that sounds bizarre, but it's true. The blood that would one day flow from that baby's body is the only way for any of us to be safe when God's verdict comes. Well, we've been thinking about three different nights in history. Hope you've followed. The night before Jesus was born. The night before the Israelites left Egypt, 1,300 years before. and then the night before Jesus died. And I hope you're seeing the connection. They weren't all silent nights, but they all had something to do with peace. They all had something to do with safety from the verdict of God. Before I sit down this evening, I want you to think with me about one more night. This night. The night before Christmas, 2004. Is it a silent night? What's tonight like in your house? If you've got kids, I suspect it hasn't been a very silent night at all. If you've been out partying with friends, I suspect it hasn't been that quiet either. But what if tonight were the night of God's verdict? What if tonight was the night God decided to visit? What if tonight God came to your house? On the night God came to Egypt, there were some homes where you couldn't even hear a dog bark. Such was the silence. But there were other homes where the wailing was worse than ever before or since. If God came tonight to your house, would there be the wailing of regret? Or would there be the silence of safety? Now, I know that's a very confronting question, but in all honesty, it's the question that Christmas asks us all to face. Serious question. I want to repeat it so that you don't miss it. If God came tonight to your house, would there be the wailing of regret, or would there be the silence of safety? At Christmas, we remember what the angels announced on that slightly less than silent night. That a saviour had been born. A saviour from what? A saviour from the just but terrifying verdict of God against us. A saviour from the wailing that accompanies grief and regret. A saviour who offers us safety, security, the quietness of peace. If you want to know the quietness of peace this Christmas, real peace, then you need to embrace Jesus. Not as a mild, quiet baby, not as a noisy baby, not even as a good teacher who tells us all how to love each other if only we'd listen. You need to embrace Jesus as a saviour. You need to embrace him as the one who bled and died. You need to embrace his blood, without which there is no way to survive when the verdict of God comes. If you have embraced him, or if you will embrace him, then, and only then, your home will be like the homes of the Israelites thousands of years ago, safe, secure, places of peace on a silent night.